but runners come in the middle there. Danelle is the best supported runner in front of Prompt Return. And then third pick is Ultimate Shock. And it'd probably be a shock if he went straight on the track and behaved himself.
Yeah, it would be, Glenn. And look, plenty of speed here as Grimador, Eminent Duke, Prompt Return, nothing like Luca. They're all general on-pace runners, right? So they should put the speed on in the last.
Yeah, we were both on Danelle. I think at Canterbury first up, Paul, I thought she was really good. Took a smart horse, a smart first up specialist in Magic Alibi to beat her. That was her first run since May of last year. Just for that natural improvement, she'll come on from that, and that soft draw, she'll be up on speed and be very hard to catch. Number 10, Danelle. Number 15, Ultimate Shock's got loads of ability, but so many things wrong in his headspace, isn't there, Paul? If he goes on the track and produces like he did at Warwick Farm back on December 9 when he flashed home and ran very fast time, he could do anything here. Number 8, Sanzio, resuming, does go well fresh, gets in well with the claim. And number 11, Prompt Return, back on top of the ground here, definitely one to watch. In the last, 10 Danelle from 15, 8 and 11.
Yeah, I went 10, 11, 4 and 9. I've got Danelle on top. I'm with you, Ray. I think she'll improve off that first up run and she gets all the favours today with James McDonald off the perfect draw. The 11, Prompt Return, now he has been gelded during that little let up, so keep an eye on that because he trialled really strongly at Rose Hill and that may have turned him back into that early two-year-old form that sure saw him show so much potential. The 4, Marple Miss, I thought she's trialled really well leading into this. She's got a bit of class about her. And the 9, Magic of Dreams, well, she's always a chance rattling home off a fast pace. So I've gone 10, 11, 4 and 9 in the last. Plenty of value with all of those four picks.
And Darren Flindell in the last has gone for 4, Marple Miss to beat 11, 15 and 7. 4, 11, 15 and 7. Darren's best is race 2, number 10, Maram. Race 2, number 10. What about yours, Ray?
Yeah, race 4, number 13, Happy Partner. Into race 7, number 10, Danelle. Andrew?
Righto, 4.13 into 7.10. Good on you, Ray. We'll hear from you and read from you over the next few days.
Thanks. All the best, Andrew.
Good on you, Ray. And what about you, Paul?
Yeah, well, I like Old North, Andrew. Race 3, number 2, Old North for John O'Shea. And I do think Rock and Swing can win the first. Race 1, number 4 at a bit better odds. So we'll go with those two. Race 1, number 4 and Race 3, number 2.
Good on you, mate. We'll speak to you on Tab Talk, of course, on Saturday morning between 10 and 10.30.
Can't wait, Andrew. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Paul. Paul Joyce looking at Warwick Farm, repeating Darren's best, race 2, number 10, and the first at Warwick Farm today at 2.15. Glenn Munsey's going to stick around. Coming up in a matter of minutes, we'll have Tab Talk with Sean. Special guest is Storm Keating, the wife of international performer Ronan Keating. She's an ambassador for the Australian Turf Club's Autumn Carnival. They'll also preview the NBL Grand Final.
There's nothing like a Sydney Autumn Carnival, and there's nothing like trainer Gay Waterhouse.
Scarlet Rain's win had Gay right on song.
I said she'll just cruise along in front, funny little action, and then she goes...
No stopping you, well done.
No stopping me, you're not kidding. I like the feel of that slipper.
Gay Waterhouse is now virtually counting the days to March 19 in another bid to win Australia's biggest two-year-old race, the Golden Slipper.
Catch all the Autumn Carnival action on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
When suddenly he gets the feeling he's been surrounded by...
The Country Championships is coming to Grafton, March 6th. Featuring the region's best horses on the path to the grand final at Royal Randwick.
Horses, horses, horses.
Thechampionships.com.au.
At Ving Lee, for a limited time, purchase a selected Samsung fridge, washing machine or dishwasher and get it delivered free and the old one taken away. Only at Ving Lee. Terms and conditions, delivery areas and times apply. See in store or vinglee.com.au for details.
They're off.
Gates open, they're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is! Adam Scott, a life changer.
It's the first time he's finished above a GP at Phillip Island. Mark Marquez, another in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
5:10, Sean Cosgrove and Glenn Munsey. Good morning, Glenn. How are you, mate?
Very good. Thank you, Shawnee boy. And going to be a warm day today there at Warwick Farm, but all warming up, of course, here in Sydney for our Autumn Carnival.
We are looking forward to it. And yesterday, of course, the big launch and the announcement of the ambassadors. And one of the ambassadors, I would have thought she would have just grabbed this and thought, I'm rapt to be doing this, is Storm Keating, wife of Ronan Keating. She's with us now. Good morning, Storm.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Very well, thank you. Now, I would have thought this would be something you would have grabbed with both hands because you spend a fair bit of time in Ireland these days, but Aussies, you've been home here for years.
Yeah, no, Aussie, I'm actually just really delighted about it because I've always been into racing. You know, my dad had racehorses, my uncle was a jockey at one point, I've been on the back of a racehorse myself, so, you know, it's a big part of our family, big part of our tradition, and, you know, I miss home so much when I'm over in London and Ireland, and yeah, to come back to Sydney and to be able to be a part of this is just brilliant. I'm excited.
Storm, have you got in contact with all of your friends here and trying to get them up in a big group to get to the races?
Always. You know, that's what we do, isn't it? What we do best. No, we'll definitely be getting a massive group together when we're actually flying back out again tonight, back to London, just for, I think, 10 days, and then we're back to Sydney again. So as soon as we pop back on the next plane, we'll be getting all the troops together and getting down to the race course ourselves.
Now, Storm, I'm tipping Ronan, being an Irish boy, he's involved as well. I mean, if you're Sean Michael Cosgrove, the Irish didn't miss me either. You're born and you know how to punt and have a pint the minute you're born, just about.
Yeah. Look, I wouldn't say the Aussies are too much different, but yeah, no. Ro, I think, was he was certainly definitely crafted in that shape and form. He's had race horses himself as well, and, you know, they certainly know how to do it like we do. Which is, you know, bless him, he wasn't at the launch yesterday because he was working, but he well and truly is as excited about this as I am. And he's, you know, being an Irish boy that spends a lot of time in Aussie, I think he feels like he, you know, punts for both countries, so it's nice.
Has he had any luck with the horses?
I think it's like all of us. You have a little bit of luck and you miss out some as well.
Well, just make sure on day one of the championships he can do one of his two favourite things. He can punt, but he can't have a pint because he's got to perform after the last in the theatre of the horse.
I know. You know, look, I would actually say that he'll have a pint anyway because he's pretty good at doing both. He can perform and have a pint.
Oh, Sean and I do some of our best work after a gallon. Don't worry about a pint.
Storm, I'm tipping. He could do an Irish drinking song. I reckon they'd join in with him. Don't worry.
Might even do a jig. No, he's actually, yeah, he'll be doing that, but I'm sure he'll be on the racetrack and he'll be reading through his little book. That's what he does best. He likes to have a bit of a guess here and there. He knows a lot more about, like, the, he gets lots of tips from people. I just go on the name. I'm just like, I go with gut instinct. I'm like, I like that name and, you know, I'm rooting for that one. But then he knows all the people around town and you know what it's like. You're all on your mobile phones, taking quick calls here and there and putting your money where it should be laid.
Yeah, I hope you're very diplomatic. You know, the day that he does have a bad day on the punt, you know, he's got all the tips that have gone wrong and you're bagged 350-1 winners because the jockey had a nice bum or, you know, the horse winked at you on the way there or anything like that. You're very diplomatic about that, aren't you?
No, look, come on now. My dad used to say to us kids, he'd take us down to the theatre of the horse and he'll talk through the shape of a horse and the muscle and this and that and the other. And I tried following that theory for a while there, but it never really worked for me. So I just keep it simple. You know, I drink the champagne, I have a bit of fun, I have a laugh with everybody around us, and then I just look at the book and pick a name and fingers crossed. It's worked for me in the past, so, you know, I think, you know, that's the thing with luck. It can go either way, can't it?
Hey, bank balance at the end of the day tells who's the winner. That's all you worry about. Yeah.
Bragging rights are everything at the end of the day.
That's not what it's all about, lads. It's all about the fun. It's, you know, everyone knows that racing's a lifestyle investment. It's not necessarily all about the bank balance at the end of the day.
Now, from your background, Storm, you were a producer, I think, on The X Factor. That's where you met Ronan, wasn't it, when you were working there?
Yeah, TV producer, yeah.
So from someone who's been on the other side of the microphone, the other side of the camera, how do you feel going to this side? Because you're up front, and I noticed at one stage you've helped Ronan with a breast cancer function in England as well, raising money in memory of his mum as well. So on that occasion, you've had to step in front of the mic. Is it something you're comfortable with?
You know what? It's nerve-wracking. I do find it really daunting, I won't lie. And it's something that I avoided for, you know, a good while there, a good couple of years. But it was actually Rose's sister, Linda, And she's she runs the Marie Keating Foundation in Ireland, which is our foundation raising money for breast cancer. And she was the first one to approach me and say, look, Stormy, we'd really love for you to launch this campaign. And I, you know, it was the first sort of little bit that I did, and I was petrified. But I've just, you know, I'm getting a little bit more used to it, and I see it more as a privilege these days because, you know, not everyone's in the position that I'm in. You know, you can do both, and you can use your, you know, lend your voice for good causes. And that's what I'm just trying to do. I'm just sort of doing a bit of both and trying to keep the nerves down as much as possible while I do it.
Now, Storm, your ambassadorial role for the ATC Autumn Carnival, have you got one specific task, or are you just a broad spectrum of things that you're going to be involved with?
Yeah, no, look, Ro and I are actually ambassadors together, and we're going to be doing the championship, so we're BMW Derby. So we'll be there on the day, and that's why Ro's going to be performing on the day. Of course, we're ambassadors for the whole thing, but specifically that's our big day.
Right, so you've got to get your black and white gear out?
Yeah, black and white. I think it's great. I love the Derby. I've always loved the tradition of black and white. You know, it keeps it quite simple, elegant, classic, you know. Doesn't overcomplicate things too much. And normally what's the case is you've got black and white in your wardrobe already, so you don't have to actually go out and buy new outfits.
Gee, I wish I was married to you. Every female I've ever come across, oh, no, I need a new outfit. You're happy to go with what you've got.
Yeah, you know what, I'm actually doing a lot of work at the moment with a company called Positive Luxury, and without going well into it, you know, it's all about sustainability and ethics and positive business models. So, now, I'm all about sort of recycling what's in the wardrobe and what's in the makeup cabinet and, you know, trying to do our best for the earth by not sort of always needing something new and then turning it to trash in the landfill.
Now, Storm, there'll be a lot of ladies listening at the moment thinking, wow, you're lucky duck, you're married to a world-class singer. But do you ever walk around the house when Ronan's, you know, belting out one of his hit songs and you go, I'll give it a rest for a while, will you put Wham on and Wake Me Up Before You Go or Disco Inferno or something instead of that?
You know what? I don't know. I don't think I'll ever get sick of hearing him sing, to be honest. You know, I also don't walk around the house thinking, wow, I'm married to a pop star, because that's certainly not the case, because to me he's just my, he's my bubba, he's just my, yeah, he's my love. So I don't, yeah, we don't really kind of get all caught up in the world when we're at home. And even when we're out and doing our bits and pieces, we try to keep it as grounded and normal as possible. You kind of don't really believe it, you know, you kind of don't feel any different really. You just sort of, sometimes people look at you a bit differently or think things differently, but we don't.
He looks like he's got a great sense of humour.
I do what he does.
Yeah, he just looks like he loves fun and enjoys life.
Oh, he does. I mean, that's one of the reasons I fell in love with him. He's just such a lad. He's got, you know, he's got a heart of gold, but above and beyond anything else, he's just always having a good time, loves everybody, very generous, very kind, and laughs very easily. Takes the piss out of himself and doesn't take himself too seriously.
Right. What about if he's sitting on the lounge humming a tune and say, what about the garbage that needs taken out? You need to fix that, pull that washing off the line and everything. I bet you wouldn't want to hear him singing then.
You know what? I turn around and I'd be like, baby, well, you got two legs and two arms. Get up there and do it yourself.
Oh, God, I was married to you.
No, he actually is brilliant in the house. We share the GDs. Because I'm very busy as well, so between the two of us, we just have to kind of tic-tac and help each other out with all that kind of stuff.
Are you still doing television producing these days, Storm?
Yeah, you know, I'm not on set these days. It's really difficult in terms of timing with Ro's career, and Ro's got three kids from his first marriage, which I'm now stepmom to. So between all of that and our work stuff, being on set just is just impractical and doesn't sort of work with our lifestyle. But I am still working, writing TV formats and keeping my toe in the business, but at the same time, sort of investing my time towards, you know, individual projects, you know, across a broad range of, like, creative bits and pieces. So, yeah, not just TV these days.
Do you think we'll ever see a horse racing in Australia owned by Mr. and Mrs. R. Keating?
Oh, I would say so. I don't think that's a very far-fetched idea at all. Yeah, I would love that.
Yearling sales time at the moment too, you know. There's horses being bought everywhere, beautiful ones.
Yeah, and right in the midst of the championships, of course, is the English sale. So there'll be some trainers with their fingers in the phone over that period of time trying to get Mr. and Mrs. R. Keating probably out to dinner the night before the sales.
I wouldn't say that we're ready to buy yet, but look, give us another couple of years. If we can get a place down here in time, then we definitely would be looking to invest in a horse at the same time. That would be great. We'd love that.
to them. I'm tipping a couple of bottles of champagne the night before the sales. You'll buy, don't worry.
Is that the trick?
That's it. Yeah. You'll have three horses the next day.
Oh, dear.
Well, it sounds like you are going to have an absolute ball at the championships. You're looking forward to it so much.
I am. I look forward to coming home and then to be able to do this as well. It's just brilliant. Yeah. Like I'm just happy to be back. Happy to be amongst all the Aussies and doing my thing and, yeah, and talking to you lads on the phone this morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, we appreciate it very much, and we look forward to seeing you over the carnival too. And good luck. Let's hope that the lucky names and the lucky colours just bob up for you every race.
Oh, bless you. Good luck to you all. Take care.
Thanks, Storm. Storm Keating joining us there, Rowan Keating's wife. What a delightful lady, Glenn.
Yeah, well, to hear someone as, you know, as effervescent as that, Sean, it all goes well. And those sort of people, they're going to drag, you know, let's drag a mate to the races. Yep. And of course, I wouldn't say I'm a Ronan Keating fan. I'm, you know, I don't know what station he's on the wireless, Sean, but he's going to be performing at the end of day one of the championship there in the Theatre of the Horse, and I might just camp in the Sky Thoroughbred Central studio, and I've got the best seat in the house in the Theatre of the Horse. I mightn't have to move. Well, I'll be there for that long on the day. I don't know whether I'll be able to move.
Well, it might be that where you'll be staying if you lose on the punt too. Anyway, NBL, this is getting out of the sharp end of the wedge now, Munns, isn't it?
Is it what? And one thing that's, you know, it's been very, very good for the engraver of the trophy, Sean, is the fact that the Perth Wildcats are playing the New Zealand Breakers in the grand final series here, and he really hasn't had to put another name on the trophy for a farewell. Yeah. Has he, Jeremy?
No, he certainly shouldn't be making any spelling mistakes, that's for sure.
I reckon. He'd have RSI from writing these.
He would. Between the two of them, they've pretty much swept up the vast majority over the last decade, and look, it's pretty hard to pick a winner this time round as well.
What are your thoughts?
It's very hard to go against the home ground advantage in final. If you look at the last 20 finals games, I believe it's something along the lines of the last 18 out of 20 have been won by the home team. But if you look at the two games where the away team has won, they've both been the New Zealand Breakers, and one of them was against Perth to win the championship in 2013. So if you ever were going to tip against the home team in a final, it would be when the New Zealand Breakers were playing. So it's a pretty line ball, I reckon.
And mate, what about the fact that, you know, the Breakers have had just this little bit of time off, of course, going through their series against Melbourne, and Perth had to stretch to three games against the Illawarra Hawks?
Look, it's that age-old question, isn't it? Some say that the break is a great advantage, and others say that you've got to keep your momentum up. And I heard Trevor Gleeson say after the last Perth game against Illawarra that this was the perfect preparation for them for a hard final series against New Zealand. I think he's on the money there, and that, look, with the home ground advantage and that really good tussle against Illawarra at their last home game and a really convincing win, I think Perth are in red-hot form and should have the momentum to keep going.
And, of course, this is a best-of-three series. They meet, of course, tonight. Then they back up on Friday night in New Zealand. And if we go to Game 3, we're back in Perth on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it's got to be the worst travel schedule in global sport, just about. I mean, the dates were all locked in, and this was always a possibility that it could be a Perth-New Zealand final again. But I tell you what, I don't envy them the road trip. Mind you, I'm making it myself, getting ready to head off from Melbourne to Perth shortly, and then on the red eye tonight, back to Melbourne, off to New Zealand tomorrow. So it's not going to be a fun road trip for anyone, but I tell you what, these guys are absolutely blinkered at the moment. I know both teams are really, really focused on getting game one under their belt.
Jeremy, back in just 30 seconds.
Let's go straight to the front and now looking at Dry Silvers, Dirk Connor. Out wider here on the track, two by Squirling Eddie, getting around two Steffi Star back here to Candy Crusher. Also back in the field, Homebush, Fredo Catalia Star, and Pickering missed the start. They go for home, Dirk Connor racing away. Dirk Connor will get the second, all that's very close. Candy Crusher arriving late in a photo there with Squirling Eddie, and not too far away there on the inside to Steffi Star. Out wider here on the track, getting home was Homebush, Fredo, and just in behind Pickering, I think, might have got past one.
Two and a photo there. Number two, Zircon, 190-150, and a photo for the Miners with Jeremy Lolliger, General Manager of the NBL, describing his trip and the players as well. It's a lot of clicks to get on board on the plane, isn't it, Jeremy?
It is. And look, the one saving grace, I guess, is that New Zealand have been over in Perth for a couple of days now. They should have that trip well and truly behind them. And I know they've both been pretty focused on game one. Look, I think whoever wins game one is going to take the series, to be honest. That's because they're both on equal playing field once they've got to travel to New Zealand, I reckon. Whoever takes game one is a good chance of winning it too.
Okay, well, let's have a look at the market for tonight anyway. We've got Perth 140, the breakers there from New Zealand at 290, a 5.5-point line. Overall, Perth $1.60 to win the series. New Zealand at 235. Now, Perth in three games, 240 favourite. In straight sets, 375. New Zealand in three at 425. Or in straight sets, that's winning tonight, of course, a $5 chance. So you're going with are you going with a straight sets no matter who wins tonight, or you think it'll still go to three?
I think it'll go straight sets no matter who wins tonight. I think whoever gets the momentum tonight will pick up the win in New Zealand as well.
Okay, well, you can take, well, if you want to go that way, you take Perth 2-0 at $3.75 and New Zealand 2-0 at $5, and you're taking 48% in the market there, so it's not too bad.
Yeah, no, I think that's a sensible way to go. I think whoever has the win tonight will be so motivated that they don't want to fly back to Perth again for that terrible back-to-back that they'll get over the line in game two.
Jeremy, when you look back at the season, and you look at these two have made it through to the final, which was the most disappointing team this year in your mind?
Most disappointing team? Look, it has to be the Sydney Kings. It's tough to say, but they were fantastic on paper, and they were tipped to do exceptionally well and finish in the top four. They were really mired by injury to both Josh Childress and Julian Kazoo. We had good old Ben Knight stepping up from the assistant coaching role and actually filling the void there for a while, so... Look, I think they played in a reasonably entertaining brand of basketball, but if you were to look at who was most disappointed with their own performance this year, I'd say it would be the Sydney Kings.
All right, fair enough. Well, safe travels. Get some sleep at some point.
Thank you very much.
Just remember to turn left when you get on the plane, Jeremy.
Good on you guys. Thanks for the season.
Thanks, Jeremy. Jeremy Lowledge, the general manager of the NBL. I tell you what, that is a decent road trip, isn't it, Munns, when you look at it?
Yeah, well, just as a point of comparison, Sean, the New Zealand Warriors in the National Rugby League take a game more often the last few years to Perth to play Souths. And they worked it out. Their body clock told them it was basically 11:30 at night New Zealand time when they were running onto the field. And traditionally, their second half was very, very poor against Souths all the time. And that was mainly due to the fact that, in their minds and their body, they should be in bed.
Mm.
So it's always, very, very difficult for that to happen there. So an interesting situation to what is going to happen.
All righty. Now, NRL season kicks off tomorrow night too. That's going to be huge.
It is. Thursday night football, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And, of course, all matches live now on Fox Sports. So a very, very busy time for our little Tabcorp media department there with being part of the Fox Sports coverage right throughout the weekend. Well, now it's right throughout the week. Right throughout the weekend, and the Bulldogs and Parramatta to kick off the National Rugby League on Thursday night. Kieran Foran undergoing a fitness test today for Parramatta to see whether he steps out for his new side. He's got a little bit of a hamstring twinge there. And we'll see whether or not Kieran Foran steps out for Parramatta against the Doggies tomorrow night.
All right. Now, Gary Portelli joining us now, Munns, and he's with us. Morning, Gaz. How are you?
Morning, guys. I'm well.
That's good. You've got Bellavino going around in the first there today. Had a number of trials before you produced it, and it's run a couple of nice fourths.
Yeah, she ran a couple of good races. She at her first start, she ran a smart horse of Joe Pride's, good little filly called Kentucky Miss, who ran really well on the weekend in Stakes Company. And then last week, we ran into In the Vanguard, who ran second to Gay's good filly. So, pretty good form lines for a midweeker, but this time of the year, everyone's owning up. So a midweeker often can be a lot stronger than what you first thought. So there might be something come out this year. You never know.
Now, Gaz, you got blinkers on today, but earmuffs off. Earmuffs, we had winkers probably, 18 months ago, 2 years ago, a new innovation gear-wise. Earmuffs now, everyone seems to be putting them either on or off.
Yeah, it was sort of... I remember years ago when people started using them, you sort of laughed at it, really. It's silly, but you see a lot of these European horses coming over with Chris Waller in particular. He puts them on, and it really does calm a horse that can get quite nervous down. And she's a daughter of Exceed and Excel. She had a little bit of a history early on of getting herself a little bit worked up, but as she's got fit and she's got used to it all, she probably doesn't need them anymore. But in her races, she was, in particular, her second start there at Canterbury, she really wanted to wander away from horses inside her. She wanted to get out to the middle of track to get away from horses. And Winona said that she felt like she had plenty to give, but she was too busy worrying about the horses in front and to her right. So we thought we'd try the blinkers on and see if we can just get a little bit more focused and back to a home track. Hopefully that works.
Mm. And even with the back to the earmuffs again, Gaz, a number of trainers now using them with their horses in the enclosure, and they take them off as they go on the track or take them off behind the barriers.
You definitely see a big difference. Even at track work, we're using them at track work. A lot of people are using them now. It is very effective for sure.
I tell you, hey Gary, they would have liked them a few years ago with Bohemian Grove and some of those imports Colin Hayes had. They used to go mad going on the track.
Before my time there, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Make me feel old. Right, yeah, I put the boot in.
Gaz comes from Orange, Sean, and you know they only recently introduced television up there.
Well, we didn't have any. That's exactly those Sky Channel out there, mate.
Mate, the biggest dish they had out there was Parks.
All right. Undoubtable, you got going around the fourth today with Kira McAvoy on, and this is knocking on the door.
Yeah, he ran a really good race last start at Newcastle. Actually won the race with my other horse, two Ronnies, but this bloke through the line looked like he was just screaming out for further, and, you know, he's in great order. I'm pretty confident he'll run a big race.
Mate, you decided not to run two Ronnies today. What are you doing with him?
He's in on 2600 on Saturday at Gosford, so I think he's better placed in something like that. He drew wide in this race today, and just decided to try to keep them split up. I'd rather win two than one, so try to put him in the right races. And, you know, the other horse drew one, undoubtable, and he's fit and ready to go. So, like I said, I'm trying to be greedy.
All right, we better dash. We've got a race coming up here, and Anthony Cummings waiting as well. Gary, good luck, and this is Granddad signing off, all right?
The old man.
See you. Good on you. See you. All right, Anthony Cummings.
Put another 20 cents in that television set too, Sean.
Thank you. Anthony Cummings after Bendigo.
Jack's Marmy on the inside began okay at the back. Regal Spice, Avatar Yapper. Jack's Marmy went through to lead settling over Clove Valley Steel. Four lengths away then came Avatar Yapper starting to make some ground to be third. Regal Spice and Red Gold were next about four or five Bugatti Geiger and Tally right out to Deer and also Mapunga Chance up to the turn. Jack's Marmy in the leader skirted clear, six in front around the bend. Avatar Yapper's finishing pretty well followed by Regal Spice. In the straight though, Jack's Marmy and clear over Avatar Yapper. Jack's Marmy in three. Second Avatar Yapper about 8 or 10 to Regal Spice third. Cavalli Steel and Red Gold were next and they were followed by Bugatti Lager. Then Sigetti and last in Mapunga Chance. Time around 28.59.
Now the numbers 142 at Bendigo. 1 Jack's Marmy and 3.21.30. 4 Avatar Yapper 160. 2 Regal Spice 2.50 Muns. I bet you Anthony Cummings remembers Bohemian Grove. He'll stick with me. Morning, Anthony.
Morning, how are you?
You remember Bohemian Grove, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Thank God.
Remember the name at least.
I bet you Anthony remembers earmuffs because Bart would have put him on and put a set on him as a kid so he didn't hear anything. You weren't allowed to hear the secrets.
No, I found a hold of
them, eh? Yeah. Where there's a will, there's a way.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. All right, now the fifth today, Northern Storm, won nicely the other day. It shows a bit of promise, this, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a good win. I mean, he's had his fair share of aches and pains along the way, and this time he's sort of come back and been really good. And that was sort of a big help to him going to the races first up the other day. Come out of the race really well and trained on nicely. I mean, he's a bit up in grade, but on face value, he looks to be up to it.
Now, it's an interesting race this, Anthony, because with the speed coming out of the race, Brewery, and John O'Shea said he wants to ride Handfast a little bit quieter. Would you be tempted to sort of just travel up a little bit closer like he did at Newcastle the other day?
Well, that would be the intention. I mean, he's not generally too far off the speed in any event. So, you know, the idea would be just to be positive out and then just see what the others do. But, you know, he's drawn nicely and he should get the right runs.
Interesting, by Magnus, who's a real speed horse, and yet you've had him up to 1850. He obviously looks like he's going to get ground.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I don't think the 1850 worked that well. But certainly around sort of 14 to 1600 metres is going to be pretty comfortable, I think.
Mm. We go to Blinken, which you've got in race 6, Anthony, and again, Kieran on board. He's had a few trials before you finally produced it at Gosford, and then it won nicely the other day in Newcastle.
Yeah, just been searching for dry tracks. You know, to scratch him, I think, about six or eight times. Every time he's run poorly, he's been on a wet track. Hung out for a dry track, got that, and got the result. He goes to another dry track today. Going up to 16, a little bit of an experiment, but you know, the way he won the other day, he gave every indication that he'd be comfortable with the trip. You know, he gets a pretty good run from a good draw. It gives him his opportunity to step up to City grade.
Well, mate, the last, has he worn a hole in the Chesterfield lounge yet, Ultimate Shock?
It's close enough. We sent him off to Shane Rose's place to try and get him to, you know, basically get some confidence. I mean, he just lacks confidence is all. Gets a bit scared. In the most part, he was fine. He offered him a few challenges, as you'd imagine. But he worked his way through them okay. He's been very good since he's been back. We've taken him over to the races a few times, different tracks, and he's been good on every occasion. I think with the pacifiers, you know, he's going to, you know, whatever he does see, it's going to be a little bit filtered and perhaps not causing the same amount of grief. Going back to Warwick Farm is where he coped with it, you know, before all this other stuff happened. And, you know, I think it'll be a little while before we go back to Randwick anyway. You know, with the horses there, with the people above their head, you know, some horses don't cope with that very well, and certainly he was one of those.
We also hear a lot from trainers, Anthony, about when they do have a horse that has problems in coping, that when they race at home, it seems to be, you know, a lot worse because they don't really think they're at the races. They haven't gone far.
Yeah, I mean, they're all a little bit different, but certainly for him, that, you know, fear of the horse situation, he found very daunting. And really upset him. So, you know, he got to the races one day, but no fit state. And the second time, he didn't get to the barrier. So, you know, it's not a kind place for him. Hopefully, in time, that'll sort itself out as he, you know, starts to work out that we're all there to help him. And he grows in confidence. I think all those things will settle. But, you know, he, for a horse of his age, it's a bit unusual, but he hasn't really done that much racing. And I've seen he spent most of his time hanging around the paddock. So, he hasn't had that sort of level of experience with people to sort of grow the confidence that's required to deal with that.
Anthony, the fact he is a 5-year-old and he's only had the 3 runs, did he have issues or was it just they gave him time? Forgot to let him out of the paddock?
Yeah, they gave him time. You know, he's, I think it was similar as that. They gave him time in New Zealand, then he changed ownership. And the fellow that bought him, Andy Chu, had an idea about bringing him over to Hong Kong for some races there. Then the rules changed about age and what have you, and he was too old. So then he made his way to Australia, and just took a couple of preparations to settle in. I mean,